sermon this morning, our sermon series title, A Little Wisdom Goes a Long Way. A Little Wisdom Goes a Long Way, and this is our study in Proverbs chapter 10. This will be our last sermon in this particular study. And what we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about leaving a legacy. Leaving a legacy. Now, I've got some pictures that we're going to bring up. Caitlin, if you could bring the first one up. Who is this? There's Washington. What do you think about, just a handful of you just kind of shouted out, what do you think about when you think of this guy? Father of the country? Cut down a cherry tree, right? But he didn't lie, right? So that's a good story. Keep going. Freedom, wisdom. I think that, say what? The dollar bill. He's on the dollar bill, right? He's commemorated, right? So it's a legacy. Right, I think of him being the commander of our armed forces during the Revolutionary War. I mean, this is an example of a guy who left a great legacy. Not only did he do great things, but people remembered those great things, and his memory lives on many, many years after he's long gone. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's take a look at the next picture. Who knows who this is? John Wayne. Everybody knows who he is, right? Now, tell me something about this guy if you know something about him. All right, he's a cowboy. What else? Stand-up kind of guy, right? You know, man's man. And to be honest, you can watch, you know, you watch these westerns today. I think Billy was telling me about it here a while back. He said, you can't even watch a western anymore. Why? There's too much cussing and trash in them, right? There's too much of that junk. You watch a John Wayne movie? Yeah, I mean, you're not going to hear any F-bombs dropped, are you, Will? No, not going to happen, right? You're not going to see nudity, are you? Not going to happen. And from what I understand, doing some reading, he was a really outstanding man as well. It wasn't just on the movie screen. But we remember him because of his movies, because of the era in which he lived, because of the kind of man he was. He left what I would consider a positive, good legacy. And people will be talking about him long, long, long after we're dead, right? Now, let's take a look at the next picture. Who knows who this is? Billy Graham, right? I had to throw a church guy in there, right? We had to throw somebody in there from church. All right, tell me a little bit about him. Great evangelist, right? What's he doing right there? Prayer warrior, right? You know he raised his kids good because his son's doing what? Samaritan's Purse, right? We give to Samaritan's Purse every year. This is a man of God who's worked years and years and years to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And long after he's gone, guess what? Folks are going to remember him, right? And it's going to live on through his children and hopefully his children's children. That's going to keep on going. So this is an example of a man who's going to leave a great legacy, a good legacy. So Caitlin, if you can bring up our main idea. I want you to repeat after me. Make sure that the legacy that you are leaving is a good one. Because folks, you're leaving a legacy. You are going to leave a legacy whether you like it or not, so it needs to be a good one. It needs to be a good one. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, what does the word legacy even mean? I've got the definition for you off of dictionary.com. It says, anything handed down from the past as from an ancestor or a predecessor. So folks, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or indifferent, you are going to hand something down to the next generation. You are going to have a legacy. So the main idea of the message today, the scriptures that we're going to study in Proverbs, is going to be about making sure that you are leaving a good, positive legacy for your children and your children's children. Amen? Amen. So let's take a look at three questions. We've got three questions we're going to ask, and we're going to revisit these at the end of the message. Now, for this type of moment, you really have to be zeroed in on yourself. You really need to be looking inside, looking at your life, looking at what you believe, looking how you act around your kids, how you treat your husband, your wife. I mean, this is one of those moments where you're going to have to ask some serious questions about you. This isn't about the person next to you. It isn't about your husband or wife or your kids. It isn't about your coworkers or your church family. These questions are for you. Now we're going to ask them right now. How will you be remembered? We'll give you a couple of moments. I want you to think about that. How will you be remembered? Second question, what difference will it make? Could be good, could be a bad difference, could be indifference, but it's going to make a difference. So how are you going to be remembered as you are living right now, and what difference is it going to make? What difference is it going to make? And the last question is, how long will it last? How long will it last? See, the hope is that you will be remembered as someone who gave something good back, that added some value to the lives of others. Does that make sense? That something that you did, something you said, some of the ways that you're living are so important, and they're packed so full of good lessons to learn, that people are going to want to talk about you and teach those lessons and share those stories for a long, 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 long time. But see, if they're bad ones, how long are they going to want to talk about you? And if they do, is it ever going to be in a positive light? No. And if you're indifferent, this might be the worst of all. If you're one of those people that just, you know, there's a new word out there, and the teenagers would get it right away. They text it all the time. It's called meh. Meh. How are you feeling today? Meh. It's M-E-H. Meh. That's kind of like saying, ugh, I don't even want to talk about it. Blah, I feel, ugh. You know, there's no words. It's just meh. I feel meh. Well, if you go through your life like meh, that's your legacy, right? Nobody's going to remember anything about you, and you're not going to contribute anything to anybody because you're the worst of the worst. You're just indifferent. You just don't care. You don't add anything, and it's okay. You're just ready to get through your life and die. You know what I mean? You're not concerned about anybody else. You're not concerned about a legacy. You're just kind of, meh. Right? So you're going to leave a good one. You're going to leave a bad one. Or you're going to leave a meh. I'd rather leave a bad one than a meh. So, how will you be remembered? What difference will it make? And how long will it last? Will it endure the test of time? So what I want to do right now is I want to jump right into our scripture. And in our scripture, we're going to study Proverbs chapter 10. You know we've been in Proverbs chapter 10. We're going to start with verse 7. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 7. We're going to pay close attention to the words. In your notes and on the screen, I've got some of these little one-word definitions behind them. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will what? The name of the wicked will rot. So the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. So let's look at some of these words. The word memory, believe it or not, when I looked it up in the original Greek, it had the word out next to it, sent. Sent. Think about it, right? When you walk into a place, and they're cooking something, and you recognize that smell, I can't tell you how many times my wife's in there cooking, and she got some bacon and some green beans or something, and I walk in the kitchen, and I go, this smells like my great-grandma's house. You know what I mean? I'm just taking back all the memories, flood back, all the meals she cooked, her kitchen, the way it smelled, the steam rising up from the pots, the way she looked, you know, the apron that she had on. I mean, everything just comes back because smell is a very strong part of your memory. So this word memory literally means scent. Have you ever been in a store and you walk by somebody, right, and it takes a couple of seconds, but after they walk by, you smell them. Right? Whether you like it or not, sometimes I hold my breath. But they walk by and you smell them because scent is such a strong memory maker. It's such a strong part of who we are. So this idea of memory and scent is connected in the scripture. It says, the memory of the righteous is blessed. Now there's another connection here too. When they would burn incense at the temple, remember what would happen? The aroma would rise up to God, and it was pleasing to Him. So the idea that the scent needs to be what? Pleasing to the Lord, right? So this idea of memory and scent is connected in that way. The memory of the righteous. So what does this word righteous mean? It means someone who is lawful. Now, we think of law in our day and time, we think of our legal system, but this lawful is God's law. It's talking about God's law, the law of Moses, okay? So we're in the Old Testament, and they're saying a righteous person is a godly person who follows the law of God as it's laid out in the Holy Scriptures. So a righteous person was not connected to Jesus the way we are because Jesus didn't exist, okay? So righteousness was about a person who read the law of God and said, God, I'm going to honor you and love you by being what? Obedient to your law. So the memory of this righteous person or this godly person who follows the law is going to be blessed. The word blessed literally means prosperity. The memory of the righteous is going to prosper. That means it's going to live on. It's going to grow even stronger as time goes by. And when people are reminded of you, right, that sin, right, they're going to think, I remember Nina used to do this. I remember how Billy used to be. I remember, you know, how Rachel and Will were. You know, those memories come flooding back because the memory of the righteous will be blessed. It will prosper and get stronger. But it says here, but the name of the wicked will rot. The word wicked literally translates ungodly. That means they don't have God in their life and they do not follow His law, right? So their name is associated with wickedness, and it will literally rot, the Scripture says. Rot, to decay as by worm eating. You can't make that up, right? To decay as by worm eating. Their name is going to be mud, right? Their name is going to be garbage. It's going to be refuse. Their name will be no good. So, let me ask you this question today, church. Do you want your memory to be associated with a righteous person and to be blessed? Or do you want your name, generations to come, to be associated with the wicked and to rot? Well, if you're in the meh category or in the bad category, that's what's going to happen. So you need to consider this idea of what type of legacy am I leaving? I want to leave a good one. So what do I have to do? This Scripture tells us that we need to be righteous. And we're going to talk about that some more in just a second. But remember that word. It says that we need to be righteous. Okay? Now, let's take a look at the next one. This is Proverbs chapter 10. And we're going to keep on this picture for just a second. Proverbs chapter 10, I believe it's verse 25 if you want to get there. Now, most people don't know this, but who's this guy? They know who he is, but they don't know this about him. They don't know that Adolf Hitler was loved and respected and followed by his people when he first rose to power like few others in the history of our world. Most people see him the way that we see him today as a result of World War II, as a result of all the atrocities and evil things that he did. But when he first came into power, the German people loved this guy. They absolutely loved this guy. That's why they turned so much power over to him, because the government that had been running Germany before had agreed to so many severe penalties from World War I. People are glazing over. History class! All right, from World War I, that the people were disgusted with their leadership. They couldn't stand them. In fact, it was so bad, their inflation was so bad, that they literally burned their own money. They would get barrelfuls and wheelbarrowfuls of their own cash, and they would burn it instead of wood because it was worthless. They had a miserable life, and he come along and he captured the sentiment of the day, all the prejudice of the day against the Jews, all of this nation building, and we're going to prosper and be this great people. The people loved him in his day. He was celebrated in his day. But today, his name is rotten as an old nasty egg. Right? His name is mud. And there's a good reason for that. I'm going to share this Scripture with you here. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 25. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. You want to know the reason why George Washington still has a good name? And why Billy Graham will have a good name years and years to come? It is because they have an everlasting foundation that is built on righteousness. And once again, we will talk more about righteousness. Hitler was a big deal in his day. This whirlwind, this word whirlwind, it literally translates as hurricane, storm, or tempest. And you would say, well, those are a big deal. That's a big deal, right? But the thing is hurricanes, they do what? They come on strong, and then they fade away. Storms come on strong, and then they fade away. The tempest comes, and you think it's never going to end, and then all of a sudden, it's beautiful and it's tranquil, and you forget it ever happened. Right? The whirlwind is going to come, and it's going to go. Hitler left that kind of legacy. In his day, he was a wonderful person to his people. They loved him. They celebrated him. He was hot stuff. Today, he's one of the worst figures in world history. People are disgusted to even look at his picture. Are you following me this morning? That is the legacy that he left. And he did leave a legacy. Because we're still talking about him today. You turn on the History Channel any given day, they may have like a Nazi Sunday or something. They're doing history on the Nazis all day long. Have you ever seen that? Right? They write books about this guy. But it's all bad. It's all bad stuff. Because that is the type of legacy that he left. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more. It doesn't mean you'll forget them. It means that their celebrity, all the good things they were celebrated for in life, all the things they may have thought they were doing as they accumulated wealth or power or fame, all that's going to die away. Because if they lack godliness and righteousness, if they lack the good stuff, no one is going to remember them fondly. But they still left a legacy. That's important for you to get today. All right, let's take a look at the next one. I told you we're going to talk about righteousness some more. And this is one of those sermons where you have to bridge the Old Testament to the New Testament. The Old Testament to the New Testament. Because when you talk about Old Testament righteousness, you're not talking about Jesus because Jesus didn't exist at that time, right? So you're talking about a person who followed God and followed the law of Moses, right? Who followed the law. But in Christianity, if I said, Will, if you want to be righteous, you just better toe the line and be a good guy. That would be a false statement under Christianity. Because Christianity has a different set of rules. And that's what we're going to get into for just a second. Because if you're sitting here today and you're saying, Pastor Shane, we want to leave a good legacy, right? We want people to remember us fondly. We want the lessons that we teach, the life that we live, to go on further than we are. We want that good legacy, the legacy that the righteous have, the blessing, the prosperity of our name for generations. How do we get it? Well, if we stopped in the Old Testament, you wouldn't know. Amen? If we stopped in Proverbs, you wouldn't know. So we got to do a little Romans. And it's some scripture, folks. I know you're looking at it going, woo, that's a paragraph, right? So we're going to get right into it. But now the what? Righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who what? Believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, are you following? Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. He passed over those to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Now that's a lot to consume, but there's a theme here. And the idea is that God is righteous, and by the blood of Jesus being poured out and our response in faith to His grace, then we become righteous through Christ. Are you following me this morning? We become righteous through Christ. So Will, when you give your life to Christ and you respond to Him in faith, you become righteous. But not because you've been living such a great life following the law. Are you following me? There will be no possible way that a person who is living apart from God could walk in here one day and one moment, one second, kneel at an altar, and give their life to Jesus and say, all of a sudden, I'm righteous. Well, you got too many sins you're carrying in with you, brother, sister. That's not possible for you to be a righteous person. Not in the Old Testament sense. Because in the Old Testament sense, for you to be righteous was to be completely obedient to the law. It had nothing to do with grace. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It had nothing to do with mercy and forgiveness or justification. It had everything to do with what you did. Are you following me? So this morning, if you want to leave a legacy, the legacy of the righteous, the legacy that will be blessed, the legacy that will not rot over time, the good kind of legacy, the first thing you got to do is place your faith in Jesus Christ and receive that righteousness, or your legacy will be mud. Your legacy will be no good. The first thing you've got to do today is put your faith in Jesus Christ so that you may receive the righteousness of Christ. It says the propitiation. Jesse asked about this before the sermon even started. He was already reading the notes. This idea of propitiation brings to mind the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And when the priest would go in and he would sacrifice for the sins of the people, he would sprinkle the blood where? On the mercy seat. This idea of propitiation is an exchange of blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Are you following me this morning? That's what propitiation is. So God, in a sense, bought your sins with the blood of Jesus Christ, so that His righteousness is imparted to us by faith. So what's the first thing you need to do if you want to leave a good legacy? How do you get righteous? You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You place your faith in Him. It's not about works. And some of you are going, wait a minute. This is a holiness church. It's got to have something to do with works. Well, it does, and we're going to get to that, okay? But stick with me. The righteousness comes from Jesus. You respond in faith to Him. The righteousness is imparted on you. Can you imagine the legacy that you're going to leave if you are upfront with everybody that you come in contact with that you are a child of God, born again, saved, redeemed? You were a sinner, and now you've been forgiven. If you are upfront about that and people know that, that alone is going to set an example for your children. That alone is going to set an example for your husband or your wife. That alone is going to set an example for your coworkers and folks. That alone is going to set an example for your church family. Three ways that you can leave a legacy right there. Spend a lot of time with the people you work, spend a lot of time with the people at church, and you spend even more time with your family. Three ways to leave a legacy. You know, we sang a song at a camp meeting, Beulah Land. Now, a lot of the older songs, I don't know them that well, right? I mean, I know some of them, Amazing Grace, things like that. But, you know, I didn't grow up in church with my parents. So sometimes Mickey will sing a song I've never heard before, right? Or Paul will play a song I've never heard before. But when I was in that camp meeting, I was worshiping the Lord to Beulah Land. You want to know why? Somebody take a guess. Miss Cindy just said it. Because Miss Mickey has sung that song over and over and over and over and over in my presence in this church. So long after you are gone, sister, I will remember Beulah Land. You see what I'm saying? How that works? That is a good legacy. I will remember that. It almost brought me to tears worshiping to that song. Now, they sang other songs and I was happy, but that one meant even more because somebody was building that legacy in me. Are you following me, church, this morning? So, just the fact that you are upfront about your Christianity and you say, I'm a child of God and I don't care who knows. In fact, I want everybody to know. That's going to leave a powerful legacy. But what about the works part of it? Because in the Old Testament, you had to actually follow the law, right? So is that thrown out the window? No. Let's take a look at the next scripture. This is also in Romans because Paul is completing his thought. All right, you following? He's completing his thought. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right? So keep sinning so God can show more grace, right? Because it's no big deal, because it's free and we can just do whatever we want and God will just keep forgiving us. Is that how we ought to be, Billy? No, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? See, I love it when people try to break the Scripture up and not connect it, right? They don't give you any context. You might have somebody read one of those and not read the other. You got to have them together. Because yes, church, the righteousness that's in you comes from Jesus Christ, right? Because we're all sinners. We were born with the capacity to sin. All of us have fallen and fallen short of the glory of God. So when we place our faith in Jesus, His righteousness is put on us like a coat, right? Like some clothing. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a part to play. Paul says, in fact, this should make you even more prepared to follow the law. This should make you even better at living a righteous life. This should put you in a better position to free you up to live free of sin, because now you don't have the burden, the guilt. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You understand what grace is all about. You understand what Jesus actually did on that cross, that it was a real sacrifice, that it was difficult, that you didn't deserve it. Are you following me, church, this morning? You understand the depth of what is taking place in your life, and because of that, you should honor the law even more so than anybody in the Old Testament ever did. The New Testament has changed our understanding, but the basic principle is still exactly the same. Righteousness comes through Jesus Christ, the faith that we placed in Him, but we're still called to live holy lives. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to make this jump, make this leap. If you want to leave a legacy, the first thing you got to do is get that righteousness of Christ all over you, right? But the second thing you got to do is recognize that that's not an excuse for you to go live however you want to live and sin all that you want to sin and just say, hey, Jesus died so I can do whatever I want. That should humble you. It should drive you to a deeper relationship with God. It should drive you to follow Him closer, to abandon the practices of sin, to truly turn from your old life and live new. And folks, that's the second part of leaving a legacy. Because as you walk in this newness of life, your kids are going to see it. Your wife's going to see it. Your husband's going to see it. You're going to go to work and they're going to go, that's not the same person that I knew before. They're different. Something's wrong with them, right? They got this glow about them, this joy about them, this peace about them. I got to know what's going on. You walk into church and people are going to say, that person's ministering to my spirit today. Just to watch them worship, to hear them share that testimony, to see how they study their Bible in preparation for the Bible study, to see how they take the word that God has put in the pastor on Sunday and they go and try to live it the next week, right? These people are inspiring to me. That's how the second part works. Because as you walk in newness of life, you will leave a legacy of how you lived. The first is about your faith and the righteousness in Christ, the fact that you're a child of God. The second is about how you follow Jesus Christ. Two ways to leave a legacy. One, take on the righteousness of Christ. Two, follow after Him. Live as He lived. Do as He's commanded. Folks, if you will dedicate your life to making sure people know you're a Christian, not just by what you say, but by what you do, you will have a powerful legacy within your own sphere of influence. You may never be the founding father of your own country. Can I get an amen? You may never be a movie star like John Wayne. Can I get an amen? You may never be a famous evangelist like Billy Graham. Can I get an amen? But if you will take on the righteousness of Christ and you will follow Jesus and love Him with all of your heart and your soul and your spirit, you won't be remembered like Hitler. Are you following me this morning? And the people that you're closest to, the people that know you, they will remember you. They will pass on what they saw. They will share your testimony. They will talk about what you taught them, not just by what you said, but what you did. And folks, that is a powerful, powerful legacy. Let's ask our questions again. What kind of legacy will you leave? Caitlin, can you go back to our three questions? What kind of legacy will you leave? When you walk out of here today, living exactly like you live, doing exactly what you do, making no changes in your life at all, how will you be remembered? Will it be good? Will it be bad? Or will it be meh? What difference will it make? You know, there's some people that I'll remember something happened with them at some point and even tell the story, and it might even be funny, but it's not going to change my life. It's not going to change my kids' lives or their kids' lives. It's not going to make any difference. What difference is it going to make if you make no changes today, you continue to live exactly like you're living? What difference will it make to generations behind you? In the last, how long will it last? You know, there's a lot of stories that I tell when I preach. Some of them are funny, you know, things that I remember from my past. My kids aren't going to remember those dumb stories. They'll remember Daddy told a lot of them. But, you know, they're not going to remember what exactly they were. But I guarantee you that my kids will remember that I pray with them at night before they go to bed. And they'll probably do that with their kids. I guarantee you that my children will remember the times that we go over to the Sunshine House and spend time with those babies. I guarantee you Bella will remember that in the mornings her mama gets up and reads the Bible with her before they go to school. She might even do it with her own kids. Are you following where I'm going with this? That is the type of stuff that you want to instill in your children and the people around you. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? So today, as I ask Jamie to come forward, there's a very clear response to this message, and I hope you picked up on it. And that is, if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're here this morning and you can say, man, I've read a Bible, I've been to church 1,000 times, I've heard all this stuff before, but I have yet to respond in faith and take on the righteousness of Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you're definitely not following Jesus. You're not following in His ways. You're not living like He wants you to live. If you're here this morning and that's you, this is your opportunity to have that Genesis moment, that newness of life moment. I'm going to start today leaving a good legacy by putting my faith in Jesus and doing it boldly. None of this heads down, eyes closed, business, you know, up front, in front of everybody. I am going to serve Jesus from this day forward, and I'm going to leave a legacy for everybody in my sphere of influence, and I'm proud of it. That's what I'm calling you to do today. That's what the Holy Spirit's calling you to do today, and I challenge you to do it right now.